guys, Grant here. Solo pod this week. Unexpected. Dave is a very busy boy. You know what? He deserves a break. He's a hardworking guy. And like I said, very, very busy. But I'm going to jump in because there's actually like a lot. There's not a lot to talk about, but there's a really, really cool article I want to get into a little later that I'm probably going to dissect some of it. I think it's very interesting. I think, you know, if the fan base hasn't seen it yet, the anime fan base in general, any listeners of the show haven't seen it yet, I'm just going to break down some because it's really, really cool. But anyways, I'm just going to open up with some spring premiere follow-ups. So I know last week, or you'll know last week, Dave and I talked at length about, you know, the 8 premieres that I watched. There's one new one, which I'll start with, Kaiju number 8. This was a manga that I had read, I got for Christmas, I've been talking about it a few times over the past couple months, that I really, really enjoyed, and, you know, by the time I had received it at Christmas, like, you know, the anime was already announced. So this was something I was looking forward to. And I'm just going to say, this pilot ruled. Really, really good. The manga itself is like, you know, it's a cool story, but it is a very straightforward, you know, Shonen Jump, you know, kind of, you know, Shonen action anime with a little bit of comedy built into it. And if I'm being honest, like, you know, I was excited for, you know, the monsters and the action and all that looks great. But the thing that I was really hoping was going to kind of translate well, and it did, is the comedy bits, which, you know, spoilers, but like the whole premise of the show is, you know, the kaiju are attacking Tokyo, that's kind of, you know, already dreaded, treaded territory, but it follows, you know, the character of Kafka, and he's like a part of a crew that kind of, you know, cleans up the mess of like the people that, you know, kill off the kaiju and whatnot. And like just the comedic bits that kind of are built into that, you know, with like the disgusting parts of the kaiju and this and that. It was really, really, like, really can't, like I said, the comedy really shone through this, and, a little bit of action here and there, and then, you know, by the end of the episode, they really kick up, like, the, kind of, like, the, you know, the main character and his abilities and the color. It's kind of, like, a really good usage of, like, neon coloring at the end of the episode, which I think is just really going to work for the show. It looked great at night. I love a good night scene in anime. You know, there's a lot of good stuff like that, too. We were talking about last week, Jellyfish Can't Swim in the Night, which I thought, you know, the colors really popped, because, you know, anytime you put something at nighttime, you put a little bit of color, it really, really pops. But I think Kaiju number 8 is going to have a similar kind of vibe. If anything, you know, David asked me last week what, you know, in order, you know, from like 1, 2, and 3, I think Kaiju number 8 definitely bumped out Jellyfish Can't Swim in the Night for me at number 3. It's kind of like a tie for 2 and 3. You can interchange Train to the End of the World with Kaiju number 8. But Astronaut's still my number one. The, you know, the second episode came out. Fantastic show. Like I said, it really kind of, I was very interested to see how they were going to follow that up. You know, how drastically they're going to go in one direction. And, you know, I was kind of looking, I know Dave has watched it. Obviously, we can't talk about it this week. We'll get into that next week. But I really, really liked how they kind of just followed, or kind of, you know, they followed through with the momentum they set up in that first episode and kind of kept the quirkiness, but there's less of the bulk, you know, that you tend to see in a pilot and a premiere where they have to, you know, they got to get all that information in. It was a similar situation as Train to the End of the World, where they had to jam so much in that first episode. You know, I felt like there's like 3 instances where it literally felt sped up, like, you know, at like 1.2 speed or 1.3 speed or something like that. And so I'm definitely sticking with Astronaut. I'm definitely sticking with Train to the End of the World. I watched the following 2 episodes now, and the show still feels the same. Like I said, it definitely got dark in the most recent episode. No spoilers. I think it's fun, but it didn't get quite as dark and creepy as I thought it, you know, it maybe could have. So that is nice. But I think, you know, for me, the consistent shows are definitely going to be those 3. You know, and then I might even give Jellyfish the whole season, and I'll catch up at, you know, towards the end, because there is just a lot right now. Because we have Demon Slayer coming in a couple of weeks. You know, that is a lot to watch. And I'm still behind on, you know, last season stuff, too. Like, you know, I've started watching Mashal, you know, got to season 2, stopped. You know, now that's all finished. So I think, you know, I got that to jump into. Like I said, there's so much anime this year. 2024 is honestly going to be just as crazy as last year. Definitely the winter spring seasons were definitely the heaviest. But, and then Mushoku Tensei, you know, again, you had another, it's more of the same, the first episode. They're still kind of wrapping up this stuff at the school, but I think, feel like there is a momentum to finally move forward, which I think Dave and I are, you know, ready for. I will say the OP was this episode, and it was a really, you know, seeing the visuals for that and kind of the teases of like what the story is to come, this arc, definitely got me excited for what is to come. I think we're getting back to that, what Dave and I love, and the, you know, the adventure and the kind of, you know, just I just want to see some magic, you know? Like, I think Rudy's spells are so cool, and, you know, kind of the people around him have such cool abilities. You know, Sophie clearly, you know, has a lot of really cool magic, and I hope she continues to be a part of the story and, you know, involved in the adventures and whatnot. But, yeah, a little bit more of the same with Mushoku Tensei. Yeah, so for anime, I think that's about it. So, you know, maybe I'm going to jump into that article now, and I went and saw the movie Civil War last night, so I think I'll save that at the end. But so for anyone that hasn't seen, there's this article on IndieWire, which is a website I don't read too often, but this article was making the rounds. So essentially, there was a convention that happens every year in Las Vegas called CinemaCon, and it's kind of like E3, but you know, it's the show is for everyone's kind of associated with the movie theater business specifically. So it's like vendors, you know, food vendors. Like, I guess there's a lot of presentations about like snacks that are coming out in this, you know, the following year. And, you know, I think there might be some stuff about like tech stuff, like maybe cameras, like I'm sure IMAX, and, you know, stuff down to like seat vendors, you know, that, you know, supply stuff for the movie theaters. And obviously there's the studios are there. They're, you know, they're there to kind of push their wares and trying to get, you know, the most time in certain theaters, the longest runs and this and that. So, you know, there's a lot of movie trailers and sneak peeks and this and that for the year to come. But a big part of, or a part of the presentation over these past few days was Crunchyroll was there. And the CEO, who actually, I don't, I closed the article, but anyway, I think Steven Berger is his name, if I recall correctly. And so he was there to, because Crunchyroll is owned by Sony, so they're kind of, I think they're more or less, like, they acquire a lot of stuff, but, you know, a lot of their major Sony releases, you know, they're there to push that as well. So, there's just a couple of really cool things. So, it's funny, because the authors of the article, they said the VP of Global Commerce at Crunchyroll opened up with, like, you know, like, three, like, mission statements, and, you know, the first one was, you know, reminding the theater owners about previous Sony releases that, you know, that they are familiar with, you know, Demon Slayer being one, Dragon Ball, and then, Suzume, the movie that, you know, is it Makoto Shinkai, I think that made that, or directed that, so anyway, so that was number one. Number two was they showed off 10 minutes of the new Spy Family movie, Code White, which this weekend is coming out, very excited for that, and then number three was just straight up like an explanation of what anime is to all these like middle-aged, you know, Midwest or middle America kind of located theater owners and vendors and whatnot. And it's funny, in the article, the authors are just like, they really should have opened up with this, because there was kind of like, you know, like some like polite clapping and all that, but it kind of felt like maybe a little dead air in the room. You know, all these older men saying, you know, what the fuck are these cartoons there? But anyway, so it's funny because there's a genuine shift in the article or in the presentation where, Crunchyroll makes a point of saying that, you know, the anime industry, the projections for anime, the anime industry in all its forms in 2025 is $37 billion. I mean, that's American, I'm assuming. And I guess like there's like legitimate like change in audience tone. They're like, oh, okay, well, you know, we can kind of get in on this. And, but he had some really, I think as an anime fan, there were some quotes that he gave that, you know, I know sometimes these companies, when they're there marketing their wares and they're talking about fan bases and the cultures around a fan base, a lot of the time it can be, I don't know, maybe like a tad tone deaf, you know, but kudos to this guy. And again, I really should get the name. I think it is Steven Berger. But so one of the quotes I liked is, what I love about the theater owners and this business is we all, to some level or another, understand fan culture. It's what we've built this on. I think anime fan culture is a whole different level, which I agree, you know, like it's very niche, but very vocal, you know, again, like it's, you know, there's always like vocal minority on the internet, but it is, you know, how many, you know, I know fan base people buy DVDs, you know, they love movies, they love their shows, but like, how many times do you talk to an anime fan, like, I got this full complete this year, I got these, you know, I got these, you know, like, this art for my wall, and I have all these figurines, and I have, you know, this, you know, freaking Gunpla kit, and this and that, like, it's very, very, very dedicated, so and it is different, you know, like, every subculture has their own thing, but I do agree with that quote. And another really interesting thing, I don't know if this is them kind of blowing up their own smoke, but I thought it was funny in the article. He says, Crunchyroll can fill a theater, whether on a Tuesday afternoon, a Thursday night, or even an opening day Friday. Crunchyroll can build the hype too. We talk to anime fans every single day. We don't have to fire up our fan base for a theatrical run. They're already fired up. They are already fired up. I could not agree more. Like, I have been, you know, begging for Haikyuu, you know, the dumpster battle for like almost over a year now. You know, and that was a big thing in this article too, or the announcement came along with this conference at CinemaCon. May 31st, that's coming out, so fucking count on it. I will be there. We'll be reporting. But I do agree, like, as a fandom, you know, I would say more than 50% of all fans are, like, we know the announcements. Like, you don't need even us on the podcast to be like, oh, this was announced. Da, da, da. Like, most people know what's coming out, you know. And there's always, in any, you know, in any fandom or, you know, fan base, there's always going to be newer people to it, and they're not up to, like, you know, checking the right sites for this info and what have you. But I don't know. I just thought that was a very astute, like, you know, either he is a fan or, like, again, like, you know, how many people can really watch anime outside of Crunchyroll other than, you know, surfing the net there? But, and, you know, you have alternatives like High Dive and whatnot. But I don't know. I thought that was really cool. Another cool quote I liked was, perhaps the best part, anime fans don't age out. He told the crowd, or Berger said he told the crowd that rather than try and be something for everyone, they'd rather be everything for someone. And I agree. Like, you know, there's so many genres. Most people don't just stick with one. You know, maybe it's one or two, but very rarely is it just they only watch one type of show, you know? And if you like it once, you're always going to like it, right? Unless the storytelling gets boring. But, you know, I think not even just in the span of the show, like, you know, I've been in and out of anime since, you know, early preteens. Like, I have no intention of stopping anytime soon. And I don't know. I just, it was really, 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 I very locked into the fandom. You know, it's good to see someone involved with Crunchyroll that, you know, kind of gets it. I'm assuming most people do, but, and yeah. And then that was the other thing too. So there's, you know, announcements for the North American releases of Haikyuu, the Dumpster Battle, and Blue Lock, the movie episode, Neji. I wonder if Dave's going to check that one out, 'cause I know he was a big Blue Lock fan. And then another really cool stat is, that was brought up in the presentation was, the Haikyuu movie, the Dumpster Battle, is currently the biggest movie in Japan, in 2024 so far, with a box office gross of, 57 million, American. I think it's 8.75 billion yen, for them, but, I love to see it. I fucking love Haikyuu. So good. I am beyond excited for this movie. I've been very lucky, you know, avoiding all spoilers on that front, but, yeah, I don't know. I you know, I'm gonna pull up the article quick there. Yeah, so the really, really cool article on IndieWire by Tony Maglio and Brian Welk. I recommend, it's not a huge article, but I kind of summed up most of it. But it is a cool read. It just goes to show that this, you know, this industry and this, like, this, us as a fandom, we are not going anywhere. Like, this is only going to continue to get bigger. You know, and sometimes there's a lot of doom and gloom with the industry. And I agree that, you know, there is a lot of problems. And, you know, Dave and I have talked about it, you know, umpteen times on the show, and, you know, there needs to be some course correction. But, you know, as it gets bigger, more eyes on it, and people will see, you know, the quality of the work, and, you know, people struggling on it. But I don't know, I think this is, you know, good times to come. I think we have some big blockbuster-esque pushes coming from Japan into North America. And honestly, my biggest takeaway from this is maybe we don't need to wait like a year and a half to get some of these, you know, like Haikyuu came out, I think mid or like like a fall 2023, if I'm not mistaken, you know, so it's not quite so bad. Like 6 months is better than, what was it? A couple of years ago. Like, I think Mugen Train, we had to wait quite a while, almost a year, I think, for that to come out over here. So yeah, I think, you know, big picture, shorter time for some of these releases. So, yeah. So for anime, there's not much more. Like I said, I saw Civil War last night. I don't want to get into it too much, because I know Dave, you know, really, really wants to see this one, and this is, like, it's, you know, it's, I haven't actually gone online too much. I'm trying to avoid this, just kind of, like, the, you know, I feel like Reddit's going to be a bit of a cesspool with this one. Like, you know, just anytime you have a subject matter like this, and from, you know, a director who is, can be very abrasive and strong in his opinions, and his messaging, I love the movie. I thought it was great. It's interesting. Like, I'm not, you know, I'm not American. I'm just an observer of, you know, kind of the politics in that country. And, you know, Canada's not like wholly different, but it is like a little bit of a different flavor, when it comes to arguments between, you know, party ideologies, and like, so we have it, but we don't, not quite to that level. And again, I'm not going to get into that, but this movie is that, right? And I think it toes a very interesting line. I think my biggest takeaway with the movie is how they played with, like, history, you know? Like, there's no, like, given date when the movie takes place. And you kind of, let your, as you're watching the movie, and they're very vague on the events that kind of led to this. And you're like, oh, wait, like, has this kind of been going on, maybe? Or, like, the early setup for this is, like, 20 years prior, but it feels very of today. You know, it could be even, like, in the future by, like, 15 years or something like that. You know, you couldn't tell by, like, technology and that kind of thing. But very good movie. Kirsten Dunst is an OG. I fucking love her. She is so good in this movie. I wish she was in more things. I think the last thing I saw her in was Power of the Dog a couple years ago, which she was really good in that. But I don't know. It's a hard movie to recommend because it is incredibly heavy. You know, and everyone has their own political thought. They might not necessarily love what's being presented about their side of whatever. You know, like, it matters. You know, we're all just trying to get through the day there. But I don't know. I think if you are going to see this movie, see it on as big a screen as you can, with the best speakers possible. Like, this movie is getting an IMAX run. I'm not sure if it was shot on IMAX, but, you know, I didn't regret that I didn't see it on IMAX, but, like, within 10 minutes, I was like, oh, shit, like, a drive might have been worth it, you know, planned out a weekend, go see this. But it was a really, really good movie, very well shot, beautiful. One of the other main characters, I think her name's Kaylee Spaney. I don't remember. I went and saw it with Bronson last night. He had rhymed off a couple of things that she was in. One of them I did remember, but I'm blanking now, so it's not really good for the podcast. But I don't know. Civil War, it's a good movie. It did really well. Considering, I think it's the biggest opening weekend for A24, who put this out in their career. Like, it's a, you know, for what it is a pretty big blockbuster for them. It was really cool. I don't know, like, pretty grim. Like, I, you know, we kind of, like, walked out of the theater and we're just like, you know, it's one of those movies you're kind of just sitting with it. You know, you don't have much to say because you're just trying to take it all in. I don't know. It's, you know, who doesn't love, like, a thinker of a movie, right? Like, it's, you know, there's so many ideologies kind of wrapped into it, and it's so harrowing. And, you know, sometimes it does a really good job at, like, forgetting about the ideologies, just trying to, like, get through something. And I don't know. I could ramble about this. We will talk about this again on the podcast, guaranteed. As soon as David sees it, we are going to talk about it. But so that was Civil War, and all I have left is Fallout, the new Amazon series. I am a huge Fallout fan. I remember, I can distinctly remember getting Fallout 3 for Christmas and kind of being one of the few times my parents just, like, bought me a game. You know, like, I had heard about it and this and that. I had no experience with, like, the older PC games, like 1 and 2 or Tactics. And it was, you know, it was just a used copy of Fallout 3, had come out that year, and it completely took over my life. Like, I was, you know, obsessed. And Fallout 3 and New Vegas is one of my all-time favorite games. And, you know, I know people had issues with 4, but never played 76. But anyways, I haven't watched all of it. I've only watched the first episode, just haven't had the time. But they fucking pulled it off. Like, this is Fallout, like, unabashedly. You know, Fallout is a very, you know, kind of goes hand in hand with Civil War, kind of, now that I think about it. But, you know, this is, you know, it's a post-nuclear story, and just kind of shows how even when the world has kind of, like, gone to shit, all the evil men, all the evil people from the before times, and all the machinations they've set up, they're still just, like, you know, fucking with people, you know, running experiments to the very end. And you know, there's just a very grim humor to the world and a silliness, but also, like, can just get very real at times. And I remember when they announced this, you know, if there's anything, like, I think this is one of the more recent shows for me where I'm just like, come on, like, let's just leave it alone. We don't need an adaptation of every single video game and, you know, live action anime adaptations and this and that, like, in movies. And I was genuinely, genuinely surprised with this. They nailed the tone out of the park. The cast is amazing. Walton Goggins is one of my favorite actors, you know, from Justified. And I remember his parts in Sons of Anarchy. Like, he was just, every time he's on screen, you know, and on The Shield, like, you know, he was amazing in that. Like, just anytime he's on screen, he just has this charisma to him that you, like, for me personally. And, you know, like, I'm just drawn to him. Like, he's so charismatic, and just, you know, his line deliveries and, just kind of the way he carries himself, and you don't get too much of him in the pilot there. I don't know. This show is awesome. I highly urge anyone who is a Fallout fan. I'm sure you've already watched it, but if you were apprehensive, you shouldn't be. Like, this show fucking rules. I'm going to finish recording this. I'm going to go watch episode two. So fucking Fallout, man. God, this is one I was so blown away when I watched. I could not believe how good the first episode was. And I've talked, good friends of mine who are Fallout fans, talk to them who, ripped right through it. And it's good through the whole way through. I believe it got a season 2 announcement almost right off the bat. So that's kind of it for me today. I don't have a whole lot. These solo pods are so hard. I don't know how Dave does them so often with such swift effectiveness. I don't know. I feel like I'm just rambling. I feel like I'm an idiot talking out loud. Glad no one's home right now. It's just me and the dog and the cat. And they're staring at me as we speak. So anyways, that's my time to hop off. I'm sounding like a crazy person. So anyways, thank you guys. Please check out the socials on Instagram, and Dave does TikTok. One of these days I am going to finally make a reel or a TikTok video, maybe do a bit of a face reveal at some point. I hate looking into a camera, but we are going to do it. That is my goal to get that done. So anyways, guys, talk soon. See you next week. Bye.